seeking. I'd also like to inform everyone in attendance that our next commissioner has been selected by DFI and will join us at our next meeting, and that's Susan Berry from Des Moines Esco.
Great.
And at this time, we need to approve the minutes from April 16th.
Well, it's Lori, and I will make a motion that we approve the minutes as submitted from April 16th.
I second that motion.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The minutes approved. And then we have the minutes from the July meeting.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes, just for you, from the July 15th meeting.
And this Patty, I second.
All right, motion and a second on the floor. Any questions or discussion? They're all in agreement. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, minutes approved. So our next agenda item, sorry, I have a problem. Rules update.
Good morning. This is Cindy Fazio. And first of all, I wanted to let you know that we have pushed the timing for our rulemaking out into next year. We had, and I think I had made you aware of the rulemaking process back in July. We were anticipating a quicker rules process, but we, for a number of reasons, we're going to be pushing that out into next year. So you've seen the CR 101 filed on the website, and that's as far as we've gotten. So specific to the Esper Agent Registration Act, as I had mentioned in July, and as with all of our statutes, we're going to be doing some rulemaking around existing obligations under federal laws as far as information security is concerned. And I think we talked about this is a general heads up and calling out specifically a couple of those federal laws that you all are probably aware of. And then one change to a state law that we wanted everyone to be aware of. So, as usually happens when rulemaking is open, we also look at a couple of other things, and one specific other thing that has come up is something that Joe has found on examination, so I'll let him talk about that for just a couple minutes.
Sure, this is Joe Wong with examinations. We're seeing a lot of violations in relation to administration of unclaimed property and escheating funds to Department of Revenue in a timely manner. So I think we're going to take a look at that specific section of the Escrow Act and make sure that it is it's in line with the Uniform Unclaimed Property Act. And I'll talk more about that specific violation in the examinations update.
So when we do, thanks Joe, so when we do have some language drafted, we'll get that posted to the website, and I will give you all, the committee members, specific notice of the posting of that so that you can go out and take a look at that language. So we're at this point, we're anticipating that the rules will become final May 1st. So I expect that you will see the draft language prior to the end of the year, but we won't be filing the formal 102 until sometime in February. So that's what's going on with rules.
Great, thanks for sharing.
Good morning, this is Dawn Lilly. We have currently, as of September 30th, we have 66 main offices, 7 branch offices, 93 active escrow officers, and 46 inactive escrow officers. It seems that the industry itself has kind of settled down for a while. There hasn't been a lot of different changes going on, so to me that's a really good sign.
Good. Other than the constant decline. Any questions for licensing from the audience? We'll move on to examination.
Hello, this is Joe Wong again. For the period of July through September 2015, 9 exams were completed, with the average number of violations being 3 per examination. And for reportable hours and total costs, I actually revised it slightly, and I'm just listing average costs, because I thought listing average billable hours and costs was kind of redundant. You can still back out average hours by dividing the numbers by 6250 per hour, which is the cost per hour of the examination. So I replaced the hours column, with the previous exam column, so you could see dollar for dollar the change in costs between the previous exam, the previous quarter, that'd be second quarter 2015 versus third quarter 2015. And as you can see, as we're getting more information and regarding the population of exams, the average cost is pretty much staying the same across the board. For composite rating 1 exams, it changed by approximately $5. For 2 rated, it changed by just over a dollar. 3 and 4 rated companies, we don't have as many exams that fit that criteria, so the change could be, depending on the exam cost, could be larger than for composite rating 1 and 2 exams. But for 3 rated, it decreased by $27, and for the 4 rated, it went up slightly by $42. Common violations. Overdrawn escrow accounts. There are 3 agents that were cited for failing to prevent individual escrow account overdrafts, and it was a repeat finding for 2 of the 3 escrow agents. The overdrafts had to do with, again, receipt and disbursement errors, as well as failing to administer voided checks, where I saw both the voided check as well as the reissue check clearing the trust account. The second violation, I'll actually go into a lot more detail regarding this violation, and it has to do with failing to properly administer outstanding checks, because this seems to be not only a common violation from quarter to quarter, but 6 of the 9 companies that we examined in second quarter were cited for this violation. So I wanted to provide more detail as far as what I look at while I'm on examination, which will hopefully help escrow agents come into better compliance. So I'll take a step back, and what I did is I looked at the Department of Revenue unclaimed property. They have a report that they published, and it's for end users, but it provides really good information as far as what qualifies as unclaimed property, as well as the reporting periods that you have to be aware of. So the report stated that all unclaimed property, that all funds that meet the definition of unclaimed property by June 30th of the reportable year must be exceeded by November 1st. So there's 2 deadlines that you need to be aware of there. That's the June, so anything that is outstanding more than 3 years as of June 30th, you need to sheet to Department of Revenue by November 1st of that same year. And it also stated that you have to send out a due diligence letter for any amount over $75, and the letter must be sent between May 1st and August 1st of the year. And I'll give an example. Example of an examination. So let's say I'm currently doing an examination, and your most recent completed month-end reconciliation is September 2015. I would look at the June 30th month-end reconciliation to see what outstanding checks fit the criteria that need to be reported to Department of Revenue, and it'd fall into two categories. One would be checks that reach that three-year outstanding period between July 1st, 2014 and June 30th, 2015. I would expect that you would achieve those funds by November 1st of this year, but it wouldn't be cited as a violation because that November 1st deadline hasn't been reached yet. There's a second category, however, which would be cited for a violation, and that's any checks that reach that three-year outstanding period before June 30th, 2014, because those could have been achieved in prior periods, so that would be cited as a violation. So that's regarding stale data checks. Are there any questions about the examination procedures and how I look at it? And there's, okay, I'll move forward then. There's a second threshold as well, and that's regarding overdue checks. The ASCR Act states that any check outstanding greater than 90 days is considered an overdue instrument. So, using the same example, if your most recently completed reconciliation is September 2015, I would look back 90 days. So, it just so happens it coincided with June 30th, 2015. But I would look back that 90-day period to see that you're properly administering outstanding checks that are aged greater than 90 days. And I'd look for documentation that you're making phone calls or sending letters to the payees to hopefully entice the payee to negotiate the check. You can, of course, void and reissue the checks, but, you know, I understand that sometimes that becomes a repetitive exercise, especially with small dollar amount checks. So I'll give an example of what one company does. They actually send out that due diligence letter that's required by Department of Revenue. They send that out after 90 days, and it actually puts the action on the payee. It says, you need to return the letter, check marking that you want a replacement check, or the funds will be escheated to Department of Revenue. So they're actually speeding up the process, which gets the funds off their books sooner, and it sufficiently documents the fact that they're administering both overdue as well as stale data checks. Any questions?
It's clear.
Any other questions? I was going to bring up on the new business, but it's too good of a time right now. Your topic, Joe Coleman, is there any thought about putting this in the newsletter about the due diligence after 90 days? Because so I think there are some licensees who think, well, I've got 3 years to deal with it per the revenue ruling about when you can turn it over, and maybe some guidance in the next newsletter would be welcome. And then also, I was going to bring up about the succession plan. I've heard during exams that they're asking for licensees succession plan for their DEO, and perhaps if you could put that in a newsletter, what you're looking for, if it is or something you're going to look for during the examinations, people can start discussing it and getting those in place before you get there.
Sure. We can definitely do that.
Those are great ideas.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joe. This is next up, enforcement.
Good morning, Steve Sherman here. For the past quarter, we received only 7 new complaints against escrow agents. Of those, 4, only 4 were against licensees. The other 2 were an unlicensed company and a transaction from California, which we didn't address. And 2 of those are of the 3 that were closed during the quarter, which appears to me to be actually a downturn in the number of complaints that we've received this year against escrow agents or escrow officers. We did open up 6 new investigations this quarter. 4 of them are unlicensed companies that were discovered by our examination unit when they were examining some own companies. The other 2 were licensees. One was based upon a failure to comply with the director's authority, and one was for some unlicensed activity that occurred pre-licensing. We also resolved 3 pending enforcement cases with consent orders. 2 of those were against unlicensed companies in which we collected a total of $120,000 in fines. The 3rd was a licensee was having trust account problems that included a surrender of a license. In addition to that, we had to issue 1 more PCD against Barrett Escrow for continued activity after a license was expired. And that's been the bulk of enforcement for the past quarter. Any questions? Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for enforcement from the audience? You know, the out-of-state licensees might understand that you need to get that license before they can make business.
We hope so.
I was just thinking, so remember Stan Pylon? This was his big issue, and always just, you know, wanting us to, you know, go after the unlicensed companies. So I'm just thinking he would be happy with this particular report. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is Lori, and I don't know how many I've turned in. I can remember getting auction notices, and they were using an escrow company in California for Washington property. And, you know, it's something that really affects the independent.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, so next up, I think it could be old business. So, any old business before the commission? Committee, excuse me. Old school.
Mm-hmm.
Any new business?
This is Charlie. I do have one item that I should have put in the regular agenda, but I didn't. But I wanted to give the committee an update on our anticipated agency request legislation. And it's much lighter this year. We have 1 request that we've sent to the governor's office for approval. And it deals with the mortgage lending fraud prosecution account that I'm sure you're all familiar with. This is an account to fund criminal prosecutions of mortgage fraud. So DFI administers the account. We approve disbursements to fund the cost of prosecutions in the area of mortgage fraud. It's funded by $1 for each deed of trust that's recorded. Currently, the account's set to expire June 30th, 2016. It was created back in 2003. It's been renewed every 3 to 5 years since then. We're asking for a 5-year extension to June 30th, 2021. To give you a sense of what's going on with the fund, since 2010, prosecutors have charged more than 28 individuals with Class B and C felonies and more than 100 felony counts. DFI continues to make criminal referrals in this area. You know, just basically with examples of theft or forgery, those are kind of the most common ones that we see that we've referred in recent years. And so that's the extent of our legislative proposal. I wanted to mention it to the committee. As you recall, we just kind of clarified what's covered under the crime of mortgage fraud. That was in during the last session. That was our part of our agency request legislation, and it was passed into law. So basically, it would affect all of the loan modification scams and foreclosure rescue scams and other bad actors connected to the mortgage industry. So that's my update.
Okay. We'll see what happens in January when the real fun begins.
Yes. And it's a short session, so we wanted to keep our proposal pretty small.
We'll see if education issues keep it short.
Right.
Any other new business from the audience?
This is Dawn Lurie. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that the escrow agent's renewal information was sent out early this week. So that will be out there. If anybody does not get it by, I would say, by the 1st of November at the latest, please give us a call and we'll make sure that we get that back out to you.
During the meeting, then. I appreciate everybody's attendance and input.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.